This morning we are in Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to begin in just a moment in verse 13. This morning we see some contrast take place, as we often do in the Gospels, contrast between different groups of people or groups of people and Jesus, and we have those this morning. We have a contrast that I want us to see as we go through this passage, a contrast between the crowds that come to hear Jesus, the disciples that follow Jesus, and Jesus Himself. I want you to think about those three categories of people who appear in this part of our text this morning, and have them in your mind as we read this together. And so I invite you, if you're able, to stand with me in reverence to God's Word as we begin reading Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 13. Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 13. The Bible says this: "Now when Jesus heard this, He withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by Himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed Him on foot from the towns. When He went ashore, He saw a great crowd. He had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to Him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves.' But Jesus said, 'They need not go away. You give them something to eat.' They said to Him, 'We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And He said, 'Bring them here to Me.' Then He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, He looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." You may be seated. This is a very familiar part of God's Word. In fact, interestingly enough, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have similarities, but they also have an extreme number of differences, the different perspectives of the gospel writers. But of the four gospels that we have in our Bible, we see the resurrection appear in all of them. It's the central focus of all of them, but also this particular story. This story appears in all four. It is important to the gospel writers to communicate what is happening here in this extraordinary miracle of Jesus feeding the multitudes. Jesus feeds all of these people who come to Him, and they, by the end, are very hungry. The context in which we find this, we remember the verses from last week. This doesn't take place right after John the Baptist dies. It takes place after verse 2, where Herod hears about Jesus and he thinks that he's John the Baptist who's been raised from the dead. When Jesus gets word of this, when he gets word of how Herod is perceiving his ministry and not wanting to be in conflict with Herod, we're told here that he hears this in verse 13, and he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. He wanted to get away. We see this as an important part of Jesus' ministry. He often wanted to get away. To get away from the crowds and the chaos that was going on, and get time by himself between he and his heavenly Father, and he would get away. And so in this instance, he attempts to get away. He begins to sail in the boat to a desolate place, someplace away from everybody else. But he finds very quickly that's difficult to do, because the crowds want to be where Jesus is. They want to find Him, and so they pursue Him. We're told they pursue Him on foot. They make that trek around the lake, and they come to where He is. And when He comes ashore, there are many of them, and Jesus does not run away from them, but he has compassion on them, and he heals their sick. And as a part of his work, the day begins to come toward an end. And remember, the time in which Jesus is living and preaching and teaching, there's no electricity, there's no stores to just grab provisions for. There's no way to take care of this large number of people that have gathered easily. It'll take them time to go into little villages, and most likely they would overrun those little villages and there wouldn't be enough to eat even if they got there. There just wasn't preparations made. But the disciples come to him and they want to send the people away. They need to go so that they can get something to eat. They need to go because the day is coming to an end. But Jesus says they don't need to go away. You need to give them something to eat. And the disciples, they realize that's not exactly possible because all they have are the five loaves and two fish. We're told elsewhere that those came from one little boy that was there. And Jesus says, that's fine. That's sufficient. And he tells everybody, we have this strong language here from Jesus, this commanding language, you give them something to eat. And then he orders the crowd in verse 19 to sit down. And he takes the loaves, and we're told in Mark's gospel, the fish as well. And he breaks them and gives them to the disciples. And the disciples pass them out to the people. And everyone, verse 20 says, all ate and were satisfied. All ate and had plenty. In fact, there were 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And we could speculate, and probably speculate correctly, that had to do with the 12 disciples who were there. Each one had a basket. The disciples who had said, we don't have enough, now all have more than they can even eat themselves. And the passage ends with us understanding the scope of this miracle, that there are 5,000 men there, not including the women and children. Meaning likely there were double or triple the amount of people listed. So maybe 10,000 to 15,000 people, it's difficult to know. But at a minimum, even if there were no women and children there, there were 5,000 people gathered to eat. So what do we know then about all these people? All of these people have come together in this place, this desolate place that Jesus went to go by himself and to be alone. What do we learn then about all of these groups of people? And how does that help us to know and follow Christ better? Well, first we need to look at these crowds and kind of begin to understand who they are or what they are. See, Jesus withdraws to a desolate place. He wants to be by himself, and he gets on a boat. He is leaving. But the people, they pursue him. They hear it, and they wanted to go where he was. They pursued him on foot from the towns. They're desperate. This is what we need to know about the crowds. They are desperate. They are desperate enough that they are willing to go and follow Jesus wherever he is going. They're in the towns. They're in the places where they would have something to eat. They're in the places where their homes were. Jesus was trying to get away from everybody. He was trying to get as far away from people as possible. He needed time to himself. He had gone through all of this with John dying. And then also the fact that Herod was now standing against him and thought he was John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was someone that Herod had killed. But they pursue him because they're desperate. They realize what Jesus has to offer. Now I think we understand at this point that they didn't understand who Jesus was. That's why we saw in the last chapter, Jesus began to teach in parables. Jesus is ultimately rejected by the crowds. But they know he has something to offer. And even though their motives may not be right, their intentions may not be correct, they pursue him with desperation because they know what He has to offer. They're desperate. Are we ever that desperate in our pursuit of Christ? Think about it. The crowds, they don't really understand that He's the Messiah. They don't really understand that He is their hope. But they know enough about Him to be desperate to follow Him to a desolate place and do so on foot. He's on a boat. He's sailing somewhere else. They can't walk on water, so they've got to walk around. They've got to make the trip. They've got to come after Him, and they are desperate to do so. If we who understand who Jesus is and what He has to offer us are not at least as desperate as this crowd, what does that say about our faith and our commitment to Christ? These crowds are desperate to see Jesus and talk to Jesus. We see that He is compassionate toward them, that He heals their sick. They know He can do that, and so that makes them desperate for what He has to offer. They're also in need of compassion when they find Him. When Jesus lands on the shore, He sees them there. Again, he was going to a desolate place, but this doesn't catch Jesus by surprise. Remember who He is. It doesn't catch Him by surprise. And so when He sees their desperation, when He sees that they have pursued Him out into this place, this desolate place away from everything, what do we read? He has compassion on them and begins to heal their sick. They're in need of compassion. They understood it. In their desperation, they understood that they needed something. And Jesus sees that, and He has compassion upon them. Do you ever think about that? See, to understand that you're in need of compassion takes humility. It takes humbling yourself to say, you know what, I don't have it all together. I don't have all the answers. I don't have everything I need. These crowds are pursuing Jesus because He has something. He has something they want. The reality is He has something that they desperately need. And so they pursue Him, and when Jesus sees them, He has compassion on them. Why? Because they were in need of compassion. Do you ever think about that for your own life? That ultimately what you need from God is His compassion toward you? See, there's nothing that you have to offer God. There's nothing that you have that you can give to Him. To make yourself well, to make yourself whole, to save yourself from your sin. Now, sometimes when we're mired in our sin, we begin to really realize how ugly and desperate we are. But when we do that, do we see that we're a person in need of compassion? Not deserving of compassion, but friends, in desperate need of compassion. I need God to love me. I don't always want it. I may push Him away. But I need God's grace and mercy and compassion toward me. The reality is we need that. And friends, the people around us need that. The people around us who are hurting and suffering and desperate need us to be compassionate toward them. As Christ is compassionate, not only toward this crowd, but this morning, if you're in Christ, Christ has been compassionate toward you. He has offered you forgiveness full and free, forgiveness you could not earn, you could not receive on your own. And He gives it to you because you were in need of compassion. And so He gave it. Do you see that in yourself and treasure it because Christ has shown you great compassion? Do you see it in others? Others who have wronged you, others who have done wrong, others who do not conform to the standards that you have set for their life. And so you with grace, the grace that God has given you, you want to offer them compassion as well. This crowd was desperate and they were in need of compassion. And also in verse 17, we see that they were without provision. Verse 17 says, they said to him, "We have only two loaves. We have only five loaves here and two fish." All these people decide to pursue Jesus in their desperation, but they have no provision. They have nothing to eat. They're not prepared. Now, this has led some liberal commentators to look at this and say, well, what really happens here is not that Jesus feeds these people, but that all these people are really hoarding their resources back. And when the little boy goes with the five loaves and two fish and presents it to the disciples, it brings about a sense of compassion in everyone's heart, and people had all this food hidden and they start pulling it out and sharing it. That's not what takes place here. It's not at all what the Bible says here. You have to really jump through some hoops to try to make it say that, and it doesn't. Now, what happened here is in their desperation, they pursue Jesus to this desolate place. They leave the towns, they leave the cities, they go on foot, and they pursue Jesus. But when they get there, and they're listening to him teach, and he is healing people, and there are miracles taking place, but they are not prepared for a basic necessity. They have no provision. They have no resources. And what takes place here, they really have nothing that they can offer up. Even the five loaves and the two fish. What is that? What is that to that crowd? Even with us this morning, if that's what we had, among all of us, if you're still on your New Year's diet, it's really going to be helpful if we have five loaves and two fish. Go to the back of the line. You don't have to worry about ruining anything. You will not have to count any carbs. You'll not have to log any calories. It would be nothing. And so what is it to 5,000 men? It's nothing. It's no provision. The one boy may have been prepared for himself, but certainly the crowds, which are all that Matthew introduces us to, the crowds have nothing to offer. They have no provision. If you want to know the reality of the desperate situation they were in and the need for compassion that they had, you must understand that they have nothing to offer. They have nothing. There's nothing there that will do any good. Friends, we're in the same state before God. The same state before Him. We have nothing to offer. We have nothing that will satisfy. See, by the end they eat and they're all satisfied, right? By the end they eat and there's 12 baskets left. They eat and they all have plenty. But they bring nothing to the table. They have nothing. They have nothing that lasts, nothing that sustains. In fact, it's interesting, when they're done, there's so much more left over than they even started with. That's our desperate state before God. That we have no provision. We can't bring anything to God that has any real worth or value. We can't do anything for God. We can't be anything for God. We're nothing with no hope. That's where this crowd is. They're all leaving hungry. That's why the disciples want them to go. You know, they need to go because we have nothing here for them. Do you think often about where you are before God when it comes to your provision? You have nothing to offer God. When you're lost, when you're not with God, when you're not following Christ, you have nothing to offer. It all comes back to what He does. But before we get to Jesus, we need to see the disciples too, because they play a role in this. We have these crowds and they're desperate and in need of compassion and without provision. But then we have the disciples. And as they often do, they kind of miss the point. And we should focus in on that because, well, remember, we're disciples if you're in Christ this morning. We belong to Jesus. If you're a Christian this morning, you're His. But sometimes the disciples don't get it all right. Let's look at them. What are the disciples doing? Look at verse 15. Evening came, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a desolate place and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." The disciples are pragmatic. They saw a problem. The people are going to be hungry. It's the end of the day. What's the solution to the problem? They need to go somewhere and get themselves some food. It's the solution. They see a problem. Here's how you fix it. They're ignoring who they're with. They're ignoring whose disciple they are. They assume the only way to fix this is the pragmatic steps that need to take place. All right, there's clearly too many people for us to feed. As we look at the other Gospels, we can't afford to feed them. We need to send them away so that they can find something to eat. It's not a crazy solution. But what is the most important thing for these people? See, their desperation, their need of compassion, their lack of provision is not just for their stomachs. Remember, He has seen these people. Jesus has. They're like sheep without a shepherd. Remember, He's begun at this point to teach them in parables. We remember why. It's because they weren't getting it. They weren't understanding it. Many of them were far from the kingdom. Their greatest need was spiritual. And as disciples, we must focus on the reality that our calling is a spiritual calling. It's the world's way to naturally default to being pragmatic. Here's the problem. Here's how to fix it most easily. But that doesn't mean it's God's solution. It doesn't mean that we are to handle things the same way in the church that the world handles them. We can't handle them the same. We don't look at our finances the same as the world looks at its finances. We run a church, not a business. We've been putting food for a while now, a couple of months now, out in a box in the back parking lot. Do people come by and take the food that maybe don't need it? Sure. Do people take the food and maybe use it, get some money off of? It's possible. But the Bible talks about us feeding people who are hungry. And if we don't, then we've got a problem with the religion that we have. We give. Our church gives. You know, every time you put money in the offering plate, every month we take 10% of that. So $1 out of every 10 you give. And we just send it to other organizations to do mission work. You know, in a business, you might look at that and go, okay, there's a place that we could cut, and if we cut there, it would help us with the bottom line. But the Bible says to go and make disciples of all nations, not to worry about the bottom line. Do we have to be wise? Yes. Should we use good practices in the way that we conduct ourselves? Sure. Are there models out there that are helpful? Yes. But are we to be like the disciples and be pragmatic? Or are we to be primarily concerned with what Jesus has called us to do? Well, obviously that's easy. I really led with that second one. Like, that's the correct answer. We have to be cautious in being pragmatic. The solution that the disciples give would work, right? We can send everybody away. Jesus could stand up in front of everyone and say, "Friends, the day has come to an end. Everyone go. Find yourself something to eat. We'll meet back here in the morning for the second session of our healing and preaching conference." But he doesn't do that. No, Jesus has a clear plan for what's going to take place in this situation. And in it, the Father is going to be glorified. In it, Jesus is going to demonstrate to all of these people who he is. He's going to give them another opportunity to follow after him by showing the power that he has from God to demonstrate this miracle to them. Pragmatism wasn't going to work there. We have to be concerned about what the Father wants. We have to be concerned about what Jesus wants, not what seems most expedient. The second thing that we see from them there is not only are they pragmatic, they need to go home, they need to go to villages and get some food, but they're also uncertain in their faith. They're uncertain in their faith. Look at verse 17. They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And what they're saying in that is, this is not enough. Now that's pragmatism again, right? If I put out on your table for you 5 loaves and 2 fish, and there are thousands of people there to eat, that's not enough, correct? I think I've heard that during potlucks here. Now, it's never happened. There's been a multiplication that takes place in the last minutes before the potluck begins. I don't know if we're going to have enough food. It's never occurred. If you've ever left a potluck here hungry, well, that was on you. Like, and we don't feel bad for you because we ate it in your place. And we were thankful you left hungry so that we would not. There's no reason to ever leave hungry. But if the next time we have a potluck, there's 5 loaves and 2 fish, I think it's going to be our instinct that it's not enough. We're having ice cream next month for the church's 105th anniversary. If there's one tub of ice cream, we're going to say it's not enough. I'll be very disappointed. You have so many opportunities to make great ice cream and did not. But what they're telling Jesus is what we have here is not enough for you to work with. And friends, that's uncertainty in their faith. Think about what they have seen in these previous pages. Think about what they have seen as we have went through this gospel. Now, 13 and a half chapters through it. The miracles that they have witnessed. The number of people he has healed. The teaching that he has given. And when confronted with the fact that they only have 5 loaves and 2 fish, their response is, "It's not enough, Jesus." But before we get too judgy on them, if you weren't here for the Sermon on the Mount part of this sermon series, go back and listen. Don't get too judgy on them. Do we not do the same thing? Jesus, we don't have enough. We don't have enough people to do that, Jesus. Jesus, we don't have enough money to do that. Jesus, we don't have enough time to make that happen. Maybe we shouldn't use the plural pronoun. Maybe we use the singular pronoun. Jesus, I don't have enough. I don't have enough money to do that, Jesus. Jesus, I don't have enough time to do that that you're wanting me to do. Jesus, I don't have enough talent to carry out that. I can't do that on my own. Jesus, I don't have that ability. What you're saying there, though, is not the pronoun I. But see, nothing you do for the Lord is you. It's Him. So you're saying, Jesus, you don't have enough talent to do that. Jesus, you don't have enough money to do that. Jesus, you don't have enough people to do that. Man, that doesn't sound good, right? Like if you say it about the church, we don't have enough to do this. Everybody makes that excuse. That's no big deal. When you say, Jesus, you don't have enough talent to do that. It makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up saying that. And yet we say that all the time. Oh, Jesus, you don't have enough people. Jesus, people is fill up a kingdom that the gates of hell can't stand against, but we tell Him, you don't have enough people to do that. Jesus, you're not smart enough to do that. You don't have enough time to do that. They have uncertainty in their faith here because they say, we've got 5 loaves and we've got 2 fish, and Jesus, that's not enough. We need to understand that Jesus plus nothing is everything. That's all we need is Jesus. And all He needs is the power that He has, because it's all power, never ending. And so with Him, we're able to do all things that He has called us to do. He does not call us based on the number of people we have, the amount of money we have, the amount of time we think we have, because He has given us the time that we have, and He can take it away. And it can be gone. Exceptionally quickly. They have an uncertain faith when they say, we have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. So it just leaves us with one other person in the story. It's the one we always want to get to. It's the one we should always strive to get to, because the purpose of the book is Him. What do we know about Jesus? We've got crowds that are desperate and in need of compassion and without provision. Disciples who are being pragmatic instead of being faithful. In fact, their faith is quite uncertain. But then we have Jesus, and what do we know about Him? Verse 14, He is compassionate. He gets off the boat and He had wanted to go to a desolate place. Jesus went to desolate places in times of refreshing, in time to spend with His Heavenly Father. Time to spend in prayer. But he shows up, he gets there, and he looks at these people, and he has compassion on them. And he begins to heal their sick. Here is Jesus to people that need compassion, and He has compassion, both to the crowds. And then He has compassion when it comes to His disciples, because He shows them this miracle. In fact, He allows them to serve this food. Jesus begins breaking the bread and the fish, and He gives it to the disciples, and they serve it. They're the ones that get to go around and take responsibility for this food, give it to the people that are hungry. They were the ones who doubted. And yet His compassion on them is so great that He allows them to serve the miracle that He has performed. That's Jesus, a man of compassion. Compassionate on us. Jesus is also authoritative. We see this in verse 16. But Jesus said to them, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. It's a command here. He's telling them to do it. And guess what? What do they end up doing? Giving them food. They're the ones that said, we don't have enough. And yet by the end, they're the ones that are handing out the food. Exactly what Jesus commanded them to do. He's authoritative in verses 18 and 19. He tells them to sit. Bring the food to me. Command, authority. He orders the crowds to sit on the grass. This is a strong word here, commanding the people to sit. And then he begins to break the bread and he breaks the fish. He demonstrates his authority. He's in control. When Jesus is in the boat, the disciples are afraid. They think they're going to die in the storm. Jesus walks out and he tells the water in the storm, he says, peace, be still. He has authority. He exercises that authority. He does so here. Not only authority over the people, you come to me, bring me the food, you sit down. And then he begins to show his authority by breaking the bread and the fish. He's also powerful. He's compassionate and authoritative, and he's powerful. In 19 and 20, he begins to break the loaves. He breaks the fish. He gives it to the disciples. All eat and are satisfied. How much is left? 12 baskets full. Much more than he started with. Because of what he started with ultimately was nothing. Compared to the need, compared to the compassion that was required, there was nothing. 5 loaves and 2 fish would not do it, but he begins to break it. And when he is done, there are 12 baskets full left over. He is powerful. The people were weak. Remember, they didn't have provision. They're desperate, sick. We know they're sick because he's healing those that are sick. The disciples aren't powerful, they're pragmatic. There's nothing powerful about doing something you can do on your own. It's good wisdom for us as a church. If we can accomplish it by ourselves, it's not powerful from God, it's just us. That's not impressive. But here's Jesus, and he accomplishes something they cannot accomplish on their own. If it was left to the crowds, they would go hungry. If it was left for the disciples, they would have dispersed the crowd. But it's left to Jesus, and he feeds everyone there. And there's plenty left over. He's compassionate, authoritative, powerful, and then also he's satisfying. They all ate, and they're satisfied. They all ate and were satisfied, verse 20 says. He takes care of their desperation. In this instance, it's only the momentary desperation of their hunger. Those people woke up the next day and they got hungry again. The disciples got up and they had struggles with their faith again. They wanted to resort to pragmatism again. But only Jesus could satisfy. Only he could fill the longing that they lacked. See, the needs that the crowds had and the needs that the disciples had, Jesus fulfilled those needs. Jesus was and is what is needed. He gave them hope when they were hopeless. He instilled faith when they were faithless. He demonstrated his goodness when they were far from him. This is who Jesus does. This is who he is. This is what he does. The question this morning for you is, what are you lacking? Do you have an emptiness in your life in some area? Maybe the reason you have an emptiness in your life is because you do not have Christ. You've tried everything else in life. It hasn't worked. And it won't work. Because only Jesus satisfies. So maybe this morning, the reason you have that emptiness in your life is you do not have Christ, and you need Him this morning. But if you know Him, are there areas where you feel empty? You notice here, it's not just one thing. There's different ways in which the people feel unfulfilled. The crowds have different needs than the disciples. Even within the disciples, there's different needs that take place at other places. Do you ever feel that? That there's some area in your life, maybe you've not been able to do what you wanted to do or be what you wanted to be, and you feel an emptiness for that. What you have done is you have allowed that to be more important to you than Christ. You're dwelling on what you don't have or what you did not get to be instead of what Christ has made you. But here's the reality, it's Christ. Christ who has compassion on you when you feel empty and in need. Christ who has the authority to speak over your life and into your life and direct your life. To be Lord of your life. Jesus is that powerful. And no matter where you are at in life, what you think you should have done or should have been that never happened, Jesus alone is what can satisfy us. All the things of the world try and they fail. They might give you a momentary feeling of some type of euphoria or pleasure, but they will go away. The reality is that only Jesus satisfies. Only Jesus saves. The crowds were desperate. The disciples didn't know what they were going to do. But Jesus takes the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And everyone is fed, and everyone is satisfied. He takes care of both physical needs here, but also spiritual. And that's our greatest need this morning, is to be spiritually fed by Christ. Maybe you don't know Him. He's calling you this morning to follow Him. Maybe you do know Him, but you've not been satisfied in Him. Friends, turn to Christ. He offers satisfaction where everything else will fail. Will you close your eyes with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness and grace. And as we pray this morning, we ask that You would speak to us through Your Word. Heavenly Father, some here do not know You, and our prayer this morning is that You would speak to them and let them know that You have come and offered Your life so that they would have life. The emptiness, the hurt and pain they feel inside because of their sin, because of their separation from You, You have come to draw them to Yourself. And so we pray this morning God, we pray that You would work in our midst, that You would call. God, You would call every person that's here that's far from You. You would call them to Yourself. God, that You would speak to their heart this morning and let them know that they need to come and follow You. God, I know there are people in here who feel an emptiness inside for whatever reason. Something unfulfilled in their life, something God, something they think they're missing. God, my hope is that each person who is here, who follows after You, God, will be satisfied in You. Satisfied with what You have offered them. Satisfied that You are greater than all things. That nothing needs to be added to You, but that You're all in all. God, this morning there are those here struggling with that emptiness. And God, I just pray that You would fill them with Your Spirit and that they would find satisfaction in You this morning. God, lead and guide us. Help us to be obedient to Your Word. So we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand with me. We're going to sing a final song this morning. As we do, I hope that you will respond to God's Word. If you do not know Christ this morning, Would you come during this song and let me share with you how you can know Him, how you can follow Christ and be satisfied in Him. But friends, if you know Jesus this morning, but you're trying to let other things be what satisfy you in life, know this, you will always be empty. You will never know the satisfaction that comes from Christ if it's something else that you try to use to fill your life. Maybe this morning you are a Christian. You're in Christ. You followed Him for your whole life. But there's an emptiness. Would you come this morning and pray that Christ would fill your life with the Spirit, and that you, through His help and His grace, would be satisfied in Him for all that you have. Would you respond to God's word as we sing this morning?